free time when I get up.
I just want to make sure.
Oh, where's some stuff at? All right. 103. All right. I don't know. Do you want them to sit? It's for the first song, or you want them for the first song, or the down?
Let them stand for the first song.
And then down.
And then they can sit.
And then get them back up again. All right.
Aerobics.
There we go.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Oh. All right. You ready? Good morning, everybody. We're glad you're with us this morning. And if you're watching online, we welcome you as well. And as we come this morning to get started, as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, just want to prepare us by reading Psalm 103 this morning, the Psalm of David. Hear the word of Psalms today. Praise the Lord, O my soul, O my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of our sins, heals our diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and judgment for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we were formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over and is gone, and his place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you now and we ask, God, that as we come and we give praise to you, that you be pleased with our worship this morning. Prepare our hearts, prepare our minds. As we come this morning, we come here because of you. And we come and thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. So, Lord, we are here to praise you. Praise the Lord, O our soul. Amen. Let us stand and let us worship together.
So 2 weeks ago, at the beginning of the service, I introduced you to a new song called Firm Foundation. We're going to see this morning if you remember it at all. So we start out with the chorus together, and then on the verses, this is the one where I'll sing a line, and then you're going to sing it back to me, okay? So it's back and forth a little bit. I'll talk you through it as we go, okay? So here we go.
Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word.
Okay, we're going to sing that chorus again. Let's sing it with me.
Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word.
Good job. So I'm going to sing at the beginning here. Ready? I have a living hope.
I have a living hope.
I have a future.
I have a future.
Good. God has a plan for me.
God has a plan for me.
All together. Of this I'm sure, of this I'm sure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Okay, here comes the second verse, okay? Your word is faithful.
Your word is faithful.
Mighty in power.
Mighty in power.
God will deliver me.
God will deliver me.
Of this I'm sure. Of this I'm sure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation.
I know I can stand secure.
Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Great job. You can be seated.
Again, we want to welcome you this morning as we come in person live here and worship together as well as online. Just a few reminders. Don't forget, Wednesday night is our Wednesday night meal at 6 o'clock down the fellowship hall. We'd love to have you. We also, next Sunday, right after the service, we'll be having an Ad Council meeting. So if you are a member of Ad Council or a chair of a ministry team, please make note of that. 11:15 downstairs in the fellowship hall for Ad Council next week. Also, a reminder that summer camp signups are here, so if you have a teen or a youth that want to go to summer camp, registrations are out for Pocono Plateau and Gretna Glen, or at the Welcome Center, also in the Credenza area. There's also the birthday lists that are posted out there, too, for individuals to see whose birthday it is the month of May. Just some individuals to be thinking about in prayer. Continue to keep Rich Gerford in your prayer. Also be thinking about Lynn McNaughton as she's recovering from knee surgery last week. And also think about the family of Naomi Rutherford. Naomi passed away last Monday early in the morning. Her health had been declining a little bit, and last week she went home to be with the Lord. So please keep her family in your thoughts and prayers. More information about her service will be coming. It'll probably be held in June or early July, and we'll communicate that to the congregation once we have details regarding her memorial service. Also, just a reminder that we are looking for another individual to help twice a month with Kids Only Worship. And if you're interested, you can see myself, or you can talk to Jamie Weiser or to Devin Seddon, because they can give you more information about that. But looking for one individual just to help two Sundays a month, so it'll be every other Sunday. And just also looking for somebody to help with the youth so we can have a youth activity once a month as well, but we need another adult for that. So basically you would be there just to kind of hang out and have fun with the youth and just kind of be there in a support role. So see me afterwards if you would like to do that as well. Just want to thank Bob Figge for coming last week and filling in for me. And it was a time for me to go down and visit my mom. Went down and surprised her at the old church I grew up in and walked up to her before the service started and told a surprise for her. So it was nice to spend Mother's Day with my mom. I haven't done that for years. And so it was great just to be able to be down there in Maryland with my mom on Mother's Day. And just a special thank you to Bob Figge for allowing him to fill in for me so that Melody and I could go down and see my parents last Sunday on Mother's Day. And I heard it was a great time here and that a great message. And so thank you, congregation, for welcoming him. And he'll be back in June, as I'll be away again in June. So he'll be back in June. So again, thank you to Bob and to you, the congregation, for welcoming him. At this time, as we continue to worship, if there are any kids here, they can head on to Kids Only Worship. And let's stand and let us continue to worship together as we praise our Lord and our Savior and give him thanks and praise. Let us stand.
Our prayer this morning, that we will magnify you, that we will lift up your name in worship. We just thank you for this time that we can be together as a church to worship you and hear from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can be seated.
Amen. This morning, if you do have a prayer concern, there is a green prayer card in the back of your pew. If you don't have one, they are spread out. If there's not one in your pew, but if you have a joy or a concern and you like to share that, you can leave that on the offering plate, and I will get that at the end of the service, and we'll make sure that it's sent to our prayer team as well as share that with the congregation. And again, if you're home and you're viewing online, you can message us at cumc@comcast.net or on our Facebook page if you have a prayer concern as well. Let us come together and let us pray. Lord, we come before you now, and we give you thanks and praise for who you are. We give you thanks and praise for bringing us in your house of worship today. And we pray, God, that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, Lord, will be acceptable in your sight today. Amen. Today we're going to pick up from where we left off on May 1st on our sermon series called Collide, Faith versus Culture. And the first week we had talked about standing firm, and we looked at how the world has a different set of values than that of the Bible and that of God. We looked at how the world's values are inconsistent and how the culture is coming into the church and shaping the culture of the church and the values of the church, and how if you don't agree with the culture or the values of culture, that we have what we call this cancel culture, in which that you'll be silenced if you don't conform to the norm. We talked about how we need to allow us to have the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct our lives. And how when we do that, then we will find truth. That we'll start experiencing that abundant life that Christ has for you and for me. Doing it on a daily basis. I think when we look at today's topic, we're going to be looking at the fact of being transformed. That if we are going to stand firm in what we believe and not waver and not let culture dictate to us that we have to conform, regardless of the amount of pressure that individuals or culture will put onto us to conform, that we have to first continue to be transformed if we want to stand firm. Now, I don't know about you, but I love growing up in the 80s. 80s was a wonderful time for me. It was my wonderful childhood where we had Saturday morning cartoons. That's when Saturday morning cartoons really were Saturday morning cartoons, not the stuff that they put out today. I remember just getting into things like G.I. Joe, the Care Bears. I know, a little silly, but I did watch the Care Bears as a kid for some reason there. And I remember watching not only things like that, but the snorkels and other things. And the one show that I really got hooked into was Transformers. Transformers, I loved it. I loved the concept of these robots that would transform and become something different and wondering what's going to happen next. And got into it so much that, you know, for Christmas, I had to have the Transformers. And I remember my mom, she waited in line for like 3 hours just to get me this one Transformer that I could have called Optimus Prime because he was the coolest Transformer that everybody wanted. And that way I could have it on Christmas Day. I love Transformers and how that these ordinary things would turn into cars and do things and how the tagline was more than meets the eye. I still love it this day. I watch it with my kids, and when we sit down sometimes we'll watch it, and my boys have some Transformers. I still have some Transformers because I'm just so fascinated by that concept and just still to this day love Transformers because of that idea of being transformed into something different and being more than meets the eye. That's what I believe that God wants for us in our life. That God wants to transform us so we're not the same thing. And that way when people look at us, they will say there's more than meets the eye to that person. That there's more to that person because they're being transformed. And I think when we look at Scripture, we can see how God wants to transform our lives so we're not the same. And like those Transformer cartoons and Transformer toys that they constantly keep reinventing and coming out new ways to do things, that God constantly wants to reinvent us and transform us so we're not the same, so we're constantly different. So many times we can get caught up in the world's behavior and sin that doesn't follow what God wants. And when we look at what Paul tells us this morning, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 2, verse 2, how we are to be set apart and how we are to be transformed. So this morning, I'll be giving some key ideas of how we can be transformed so that when we leave this place, that people will say to us that there's more than meets the eye to us. This morning, if you will follow along with Romans 12:2, and I do encourage you, I know we put the scripture up behind us, but if you have your Bible, bring it with you. You can take notes in the Bible, highlight things, and jot things down. So I do encourage you, if you do have your Bible, to bring it with you. That way you can take notes each week in the back of your Bible or highlight your verses. I know we put it behind us, but do want to encourage you to, you know, bring your Bible. That way you can see it firsthand. That way you can see that I didn't just put something up behind us and make it up. That you can say, yep, it's right here. I'm looking at the exact same thing. Romans chapter 2, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and his pleasing, perfect will. We need to say no to the world. That is the first part of being transformed. That Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2 here, to simply say no. Remember back in the 80s when Nancy Reagan was the first lady, she had a campaign against drugs, and it simply said, just say no. That's what God is telling us to do here. Just say no to the patterns of this world. When we look at our lives, we can tell that we sometimes have some good behaviors and some bad behaviors, that we can have some good routines and some bad routines. And, you know, maybe we wake up in the morning and we get up and we drink our coffee, we drink our tea, and we begin to get going, and we're starting off on a good foot. We start praying, and maybe we go to the gym before, you know, we get started in the morning or whatever. Other of us, you know, like myself, sometimes are caught up on unhealthy routines where you hit the snooze button about 30 times before you crawl out of bed. And then when you crawl out of bed, you might kind of grumble or moan because you're still kind of waking up because you're not a morning person. Others of us have other rhythms in our life with behaviors that are more important, that really, when we look at them, is what Paul is talking about. For some of us, maybe a bad behavior is reaching out when we need help. Maybe we're caught in that rhythm where we feel we'll just do it all ourselves because it's easier if I do it. I don't have to ask for help. I know it can get done correctly if I just do it myself, and therefore I don't have the stress and frustration of having to go back and correct things if I ask for help. Or maybe it's the concept of, I'll fix my own mistakes. I don't need to reach out for help. You know, as a pastor, that's a real struggle, because living in a fishbowl and constantly having your life put on display for everybody and trying to extend out of the fishbowl and building relationships, that you put yourself in a vulnerable place. And there are times as a pastor that when you begin to reach out for help and you begin to say, okay, this is what I'm going through, this is my struggle, and you begin to open up to individuals, that sometimes those individuals that you thought were your friends, that you trust, turn around and instead use those things against you to try to pull you down as a person, or to try to turn others against you. So as a pastor, and not just myself, but other clergy individuals are used to kind of doing things ourselves and not letting anybody in at times, because we have had an experience, we've done that, it hasn't turned out so well for us. So we'll say, we'll do it ourselves, it's easier that way, I won't reach out for help. It's not a good behavior to have, folks, and it's a behavior that's been created because of sin, the sinfulness of who we are as individuals, as human beings. But I'm sure you can relate to that even if you're not a pastor, because I'm sure that you've had a similar experience as well, where you say, you know what, I'm not going to let anybody else in, and my guard is up. It's easier to put barriers up, to feel like you're on your own. You know, some ways when you do that, it trickles down in other areas of your life, because you begin to kind of think that you can fix everything, or you can begin to take care of everything, and it begins to trickle down in other areas of your life with your family and friendships and other things, because you're afraid to make yourself vulnerable and reach out, trying to do things for yourself. It creates that downward spiral where eventually you're worse off than if you had reached out and asked for help and asked somebody to help you than if you did it all yourself. By the time that downward spiral occurs, you got a lot more to dig yourself out of than if you just would have reached out and said, all right, I need help, I can't do this by myself. I'm talking from personal experience, because it's happened to me. I do it many times in my life because I think, hey, you know what, it's okay. And by the time that spiral occurs, you look up and you say, oh boy, now I got a bigger mess to clean up. Or as Melody will say, how about I take the shovel from you so you stop digging so many holes? How about I start filling some of those holes up for you? And it could be things just like a situation you might create where you might overbook yourself and overextend yourself because you think that you can fit so much into a day or time. It might be you overextend yourself where you're doing other things. There's several ways in which that we dig ourselves in these holes that we can't get out of because we think that we're Superman and we can do it all, and we can't. And by the time we get to the bottom, it's like, oh wow, now I have a bigger problem than what I did before. How am I now going to solve this? You see, so many times, instead of relying on God, we rely on ourselves. We say, I can figure it out myself. I don't need God's help. That we begin to trust ourselves. We begin to trust our own wisdom. We begin to trust our own emotions. We begin to dig that hole and lead astray and get cut off from God. You know, it's taken me still about a year and a half into being married with Melody, that Melody constantly reminds me, Past is the past. You don't have to do this alone. It's a new beginning. And it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to reach out. It's okay to say you don't know how to do it. It's not a sign of weakness. And I'm telling you that from the pulpit because so many times we'll say, you know, it's not a sign of weakness to help out. But so many times we struggle with that. Even with pastors, we struggle with it. On a daily basis, she reminds me and says, Tom, it's okay to ask for help. You don't have to do it alone. So many times I'm reminded that help is turning to God and say, okay, God, give me wisdom, give me direction. That I begin to play things out of my mind about how maybe a meeting will turn out or how something will go, although I have no idea how the meeting will go because the meeting hasn't even occurred yet. And I got to say, God, I'm trusting you. It's in your hands. Help me not to continue to play out how I think this meeting is going to go or not go. Help me not to play out in my mind and stress over this. Because when you begin to do that, your mind begins to wander. You get weighed down with all the unknowns. I don't like unknowns. I like to know what's coming ahead. I like to know what's going to happen. I don't like to be caught off guard with things. I like to be prepared. But so many times, that's not how life is it? So many times life catches us off guard. So many times there are things that we're not prepared for. And I don't like that because I like to prepare it. I like to know what I'm going into. I like to know what the outcome is possibly going to be beforehand. But that's not how life is. And so I begin to conform to the patterns of this world. I can begin to follow the world and let the world shape my values and my mindset instead of trusting God and saying, God, you're in control. It is what it is. Whatever happens, God, it is your will, your way, and you have a plan, and you will continue to guide and direct me like you always have. You see, I need to say, you know what? I need to give up what I want to do and how I want to do things and say, it's not about what I want. It's not about me. It's about God. And how God does not want me to be the same person I am today, that he wants to renew me and transform me and shape me to be somebody different. The first step to being transformed is having that dialogue within yourself saying, okay, self, guess what? It's time to make a change. Self, it's time to allow God to take the wheel. Maybe you need to have that conversation this morning with yourself and say, okay, you know, there's this habit or this situation that's causing stress. It's causing the world to shape me because I'm relying on the world instead of relying on God and who God is. And maybe you need to say, world, you've been coming back into my life little by little, world, and I convinced myself I won't give in to you, but I do. World, no more. I'm done. God, here's the wheel. Take it back. I love those little bumper stickers that you see driving and it says, Jesus is my co-pilot. You ever seen those? Well, my question is, why is he the co-pilot? Because if he's a co-pilot, it means he's not steering things. It means he's not driving the vehicle. He's not driving your life. But you know, that was a wonderful slogan at one time. Jesus is my co-pilot. Well, what you're saying is that I'm still in control. That Jesus is over here if I have to give him the wheel. Instead of saying, Jesus, you are the pilot. You're not my co-pilot. You're the pilot. And so many times we say, well, Jesus, you're my co-pilot. Many of us have an unhealthy rhythm in our life, and we need to change that unhealthy rhythm. We need to stop trying to copy the behaviors of the world and the customs of the world, and we need to stop mirroring the world, and we need to transform so people look at us and say, you know what? There's more than meets the eye. There's something different about them. There's an aroma about them. You know, I remember, and I still remember to this day going, still when we go to the Park City and we'll go through the malls and you can kind of see the perfume section, you know. And as soon as you walk in, you're like, wow, man, there's the perfumes because you can tell they've been sampling them. Because there's that aroma. As soon as you walk in, you can smell it. That we're supposed to have an aroma, a scent about us that people go, whoa, wow. You got a good aroma on you. It tells us in the Bible, actually it says in Scripture in the New Testament that we are to have the aroma of Christ. That we are supposed to have the smell of Christ on us. I know that sounds weird, right? The smell of Christ, wow. Is that a new perfume they're selling or how do we get that, Pastor Tom? The aroma, meaning that everything we say and do when people see us, experience us, they get the aroma of Christ. that they need to have that experience of saying, you're different. You're not like the rest of the world. Many of us need to say no to the world, and we need to say yes to God's way. We need to say yes to God's way, and we need to begin to look at our lives and locate those patterns in our life that are unhealthy, the ones that we allow the world to dictate to us, and allow the world to say it's okay if you do this or you don't do this. We need to create the space for God and allow God to transform us and work in us to constantly see us grow. Now, I am not a green thumb person. I am an individual that kills plants. That is who I am. If you give me a plant, it will be dead probably in less than 24 hours. I am not a green thumb person. In fact, I kill more plants than I've counted in my lifetime, because I'll either overwater them or not water them enough, or do whatever the case might be. You know, Tyler and Cody this year in high school are taking some agriculture classes, and they've been bringing home some different plants. And so they've asked Melody, hey, Melody, can you help us transplant these and kind of put them out on our balcony so that way they can kind of see them and grow? And Tyler's really good every day. He's over, he comes out and makes sure that the water, Melody will go out and water them. And Cody's always asking, well, what needs to be done? He brought a tomato plant home this week and was like, okay, do we need to get a cage for it? What do we need to do with it? Because they're concerned about these plants succeeding. Now, they know that the only way a plant is going to succeed is if you take care of it. That if you go out and you water a plant with tea, guess what? The plant's not going to survive. If you water with milk, it's not going to survive. If you water it with soda, folks, it's not going to survive, okay? The only way a plant will survive is with water. Think about our Christian lives being that way, that we're that plant that needs to grow. And what are we watering ourselves with? Are we watering ourselves with Coke, tea, milk? Because we're allowing the world to dictate what fills us and help we shape ourselves? Or are we allowing the water, the power of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, to transform us so that we're growing, we're being filled with Him, that He's pouring down His water upon us, that we're growing and becoming the person that God wants us to be? We know this. It's so simple. My kids know this, that they need water to grow. But yet, when it comes to our Christian life, we don't apply the same concept. We say we can water ourselves with many different things and we'll grow, and we wonder why we're still the same. Romans 12:2 is a verse where Paul says that we have to change our thought process. That when it comes to thinking things, we need to think of the things of the kingdom of God. Not the temptation to think of the things of this world and to follow this world. Following the patterns of Christ, spending time reading, studying God's word, getting the right process in our lives, watering our minds so that we can grow. Psalm 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, or take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on His law day and night. David is telling us here that if we want to grow and be transformed, way before Paul even wrote Romans, that we need to delight in the law of God and meditate on His word day and night. That is when the work of transformation only occurs, is when we allow God to do it. Maybe today there's something we need to change in our routine so that God is the one that is controlling our routines and doing the transforming work. That the outcome being the fact of saying that we'll know God's will for us, His pleasing and perfect will, because we're allowing Him to transform us and not ourselves in the world. And then when we renew our minds, we will begin to know what our purpose is. It's funny because this is a question that as adults, even when we get retired, we have asked ourselves, well, what is my purpose in life? It's a question that Tyler, my oldest son, has been asking as he will be going to CTC next year and doing print media digital design next year, and wondering, well, what is my future going to be after I graduate high school next year? I say that and I take a step back and just go, wow, holy cow. He's saying, what is my purpose? What am I to do? As adults, we're saying the same thing. What is my purpose? What am I to do? And that happens when we renew our minds. That God reminds us of our purpose. Our purpose, first and foremost, is to have a relationship with God. The second purpose is to have a relationship with other individuals. The third purpose is that in whatever we do, that God is glorified. And whether we eat, we drink, we sleep, that in everything we do, no matter what it is, that we glorify God. It doesn't matter about what job I'm going to have to take. That's all important things. It's all a part of God's will. It's all a part wondering about the fact, well, what's my purpose? That all comes into play. But the main purpose is one. We were created to have a relationship with God, with each other, and in everything we do to glorify God, even in our sleep. You know, maybe we've tried to figure this out by thinking that if we go and we have a way that we can measure things, if we get so many individuals who will like a post or like a picture, or maybe we say, if I get this job, then I'll be happy. If I find this relationship and this relationship works out, then I'll be fulfilled, I'll be happy. All these things just create more emptiness inside of us. We're never satisfied. It's only God who can satisfy us. You see, I wonder this morning how many of us have yet to hear God's calling because there's something in our life that's hindering God to transform us. The good news, folks, is that there's still time. There's still time to allow God to work in us, no matter how young you are or how old you are, that God still can transform you and wants to transform you. The Bible is full of circumstances of how God transformed individuals, no matter how young or old they were, and used them even when they felt that God could not use them. You see, this morning, are we just going through the motions every Sunday and we come to church and we kind of know what to do and how to do it? You know, maybe we define success and how God is working as we look around and we say, hey, wow, well, look at our attendance this morning. Well, God's not really doing too much because look at our attendance. Or maybe we'll determine success because we look at that budget figure every week and say, wow, well, you know, I'm not sure what we're going to do about that budget figure there, because we're allowing ourselves to dictate the world's standards of success. And the world says that you're being transformed or you're being successful based upon numbers, because numbers is what measures success. There is a part of truth to that. Don't get me wrong. However, when you put your entire focus on numbers, then you lose sight of the fact of what God can do and what God wants to do, and giving God control of things. And so many times when we look at numbers and facts and figures, we sit back and we try to fix things ourselves. We sit around in committees and we try to say, okay, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to fix this? Instead of saying, okay, let's go to God and let's ask God what he thinks. Let's ask God, hey, God, you know what? Can you bring more people to church? Instead of saying, boy, where's everybody at? When was the last time that we prayed and said, God, will you bring more people to church? God, I know you can do it. God, I know that you're powerful. God, bring more people to church. When was the last time when we looked at the budget, we said, oh, wow, holy cow, that's a very staggering number. I know, I see it on a weekly basis. When was the last time we said, okay, God, here's what it is, but I know you're God, and I know that you can do great and mighty things. God, can you help us figure out what to do with this number? Can you figure out how to help us meet our needs? God, can you do something about this? But so many times we try to step in and we try to do God's job for him by making decisions that affect people's lives because of the fact that we think we know what's best, because we're looking at the facts. We're looking at the numbers. And instead of taking a step back and saying, okay, God, let's turn to you first and let's see what you have to say to us before we do anything at all. You see, it is important for numbers to be a part of things. But when that's all it is, then we've taken God out of the equation. Because, folks, God is God, and God can do anything God wants to do because God is all-powerful, and if we ask God to do it, I'm sure God will do it if we believe that God can do it. You see, we have our part to play in making and fulfilling the mission that Columbia Methodist Church was going and making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community in the world. We can't just say, all right, God, you fix it, you take care of it. Yes, we have our part to play in it. We have to do our part. And God will do his part. But we can't just take a hands-off approach either and just say, okay, God, it's all on you, thanks. I have no responsibility, because we do have a responsibility as we transform our community, working hand in hand with God, seeking God on a daily basis, going to prayer for God, saying, God, will you meet our needs, God? And expecting him to do it. You see, we all have our part to play to be transformed and renewed. It's time that we stop playing church. And I'm not talking necessarily about Columbia here. I'm talking about the church in general. It's time that we stop playing church and that we be the church folks. We have this little thing down, church, really well. It's a little play, one-act play we have done well. We know our part. We know the part we play. We know the right answers. I always loved it when I was teaching junior church or Sunday school, and you'd always ask a question, and they would say, Jesus. And it could be like, what color is the sky? Jesus. Because Jesus was always the correct answer. We always knew that. That we're in church and we were taught to say Jesus or God or whatever because that's the correct answer. It's time that we as a church universal stop playing church, and it's time that we actually be the church. It's time that we go to God and we begin to say, God, transform us, renew us, shape us, mold us into who you want us to be. God, will you help us grow at Columbia Methodist Church? God, will you use me to be a part of that process to grow and transform our community through our church? To live actively and not passively. The church is dying because we are active passively. We're not active and going out because we're more passive. Sitting around, just doing our thing that we're supposed to do, and that's it. Being transformed means we change our thinking. It means we stop putting limits on who God is and what God can do. It means that we might not understand how it's going to happen, but trust that God does. It means that we have to turn back to him. Joel 2:12 says, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. All the way back to Joel, God says, turn back to me. It runs back to him in repentance, saying, it's time, folks, are we going to do it? It's time that the church repents, turns away, and comes back to God. It is time that we stop giving in to culture. It's time that we stop trying to control things ourselves. It's time that we put God back at the cornerstone, the foundation of the church where he's supposed to be. That we replace that and say, you are the cornerstone. You are the foundation. It's not you or me. It is time for us to ultimately say, God, it's yours. You see, we're never too far gone. We're never too far out of the game. There's never anything that God cannot fix or get back on track with things. It doesn't mean it'll be easy. It doesn't mean it'll hurt. It doesn't mean it'll cause pain. It doesn't mean you might get angry at times. It doesn't mean you might get frustrated at times. It does mean, though, that nothing is too far gone that God cannot fix if we trust in him to do so. See, nothing is too big for him. He can still restore us in the church. It's not too late for you. It's not too late for me. And folks, guess what? It's not too late for Columbia Methodist Church, and it's not too late for our denomination, folks. God can still restore our denomination if we turn to him and we say, God, this is all about you and not what we've made it. Because that's what's happened, folks. We've turned church and we've made it into something we want it to be instead of what God wants it to be. For many of us, that might mean turning away from something, returning to that vibrant faith we once had, saying, yes, I want to get back in that relationship. I want to pray. I want to experience God's goodness in my life. Getting back to that relationship, unhardening our hearts, allowing God to work through us, taking the distractions away from our lives, and mustering up energy to say, today is the day. Today is the day. Stephen Curtis Chapman, who next to Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith is probably one of the best known contemporary Christian music singers that came out of the late 80s, early 90s. And I remember when I was my freshman in college, I was able to see him in concert. He was on the Great Adventure Tour, and the very popular song that drove him on that tour was called The Great Adventure. And I want to read you the lyrics of that song, The Great Adventure, this morning. Started out this morning in the usual way, chasing thoughts in my head. I thought I had to do today another time around the circle, try to make it better than the last. But then I opened up the Bible and I read about me. It said, I've been a prisoner and God's grace has set me free. And somewhere between the pages, it hit me like a lightning bolt. I saw a big frontier in front of me and I heard somebody say, let's go. Saddle up your horses. We got a trail to blaze through the wild blue yonder of God's amazing grace. Let's follow our leader into the glorious unknown. This is life like no other. This is the great adventure. Now come on, get ready for the ride of your life. Come on, leave that long-faced religion in a cloud of dust behind. Discover all the new horizons just waiting to be explored. This is what we were created for. So saddle up your horses. We got a trail to blaze through the wild blue yonder of God's amazing grace. Let's follow our leader to the glorious unknown. This is life like no other. This is the great adventure. We'll travel on over mountains so high. We'll go through valleys below. Still through it all, we'll find that this is the greatest journey that the human heart will ever see. The love of God will take us beyond our wildest dreams. So saddle up your horses. Come on, get ready to ride. Saddle up your horses. We got a trail to blaze through the wild blue yonder and his amazing grace. There is life like no other. This is the great adventure. That is what God has called us to, the great adventure. And only way that happens if we're being transformed. So how about it today? When we join God, when we allow God to take us beyond our wildest dreams in the glorious unknown, how about it today? Are you ready to saddle up your horses? Because we have a trail ablaze to go in the glorious unknown. But in order to do that, you have to first get on the horse and trust God and know that God is going to take us to new horizons, that God is going to blaze for us a wonderful trail known as a great adventure. But we have to first allow God to transform us and allow him to take the reins of the horse. So how about it today, folks? Let's saddle up our horses because we got a trail to blaze through that wild blue yonder of God's amazing grace. And it starts with you, and it starts with me. Amen.
Please stand in response to this morning's message. The words of this song is holiness is what God wants from us. And he wants us to be faithful to him. And he wants righteousness is what we long for. And it talks about, this song talks about renewing of our minds.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me.
And faithfulness,
faithfulness, faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what you want from me. So take my heart. Take my will. righteousness, righteousness, it's what I long for. Righteousness, it's what I need. Righteousness, righteousness, it's what you want from me. So take my heart, O Lord. So take my heart.
Given to us that if we give our lives to Him, we can stand on the promises that He will be there and will be faithful to us. So let's sing Standing on the Promises. Come on, sing it out. You know this.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing,
I'm standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing,
I'm standing on
the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing,
I'm standing on the promises of God. Couple more verses.
Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing,
I'm standing on the promises of God. Last one. Come on, sing it out.
Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God.
Come on, sing it out.
Standing, standing, standing on the
promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing,
I'm standing on the promises of God.
That's what it's all about, standing on the promises of God, and we can stand firm if we're transforming our minds and being renewed by God. So as you go this week, may the peace of God go with you, and may the aroma of Christ go with you as well. Amen and amen. I'll be up front this after the service here. If anybody wants to come up for prayer, I'll be up front for any individuals that want to come up for prayer. May you go in peace, and may the peace of God be with you. Amen. Have a wonderful and blessed week.